Hello, this is Todd Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 26th, 2021, coming to you from my home studio. And we start on the front page under the Together Decatur headline. Easing fears, Bob the comfort dog helps bring smiles at the dentist. This article's by Donette Beckett, Decatur. The dentist office doesn't have to be scary or intimidating, especially with Bob around. The gangly, hairy, golden doodle comfort dog is a welcomed member of the Central Illinois Smiles team taking care of their patients. Bob trots from room to room whenever he is needed. Like any loyal and busy employee, he responds to a call of his name or a simple cry ready to get to work. He greets everyone at the door, said his owner, Dr. Katie Buskirk. He likes to walk around and say hi to everybody that's waiting in the chair, but mostly he just brings smiles to people's faces. When Buskirk, 38, began practicing in Central Illinois Smiles on North Woodford Street, in Decatur, more than a year ago, she brought Hazel, another therapy dog, with her. Hazel passed away 2 weeks ago at 10 years old. Bob joined the practice in October. Buskirk worked at a community health center for 11 years before she began her private practice 2 years ago. And Hazel was one of the first ones brought into the pack. Buskirk and her dogs are members of Paw Print Ministries, a team of trained comfort dogs. Hazel was certified nearly 6 years ago, allowing her to visit people in facilities that need support and comfort. She and Buskirk visited nursing homes, fundraisers, and a free dental clinic. She kept people calm and happy, Buskirk said. At only one year old, Bob is new to the job. His training continues at home as well as in the office. He's kind of like a baby moose. He's all arms and legs, Buskirk said. But he'll also sit and put his chin on a kid's chest who's crying. That's kind of the natural instinct for him. He's a big sweetie. According to Buskirk, Bob is a hypoallergenic dog and is kept away from the equipment and other materials used in patients' mouths. For those that do not like dogs or are allergic, Bob keeps his distance. Then he gets closed in my office, Buskirk said. The reactions have been positive. People feel like they're at home, Buskirk said. Dental anxiety is common among adults as well as children, which can stop the patients from visiting the dentist, Buskirk said. One of the studies shows their biggest anxiety is when they are sitting in the lobby waiting to come back or when they are sitting in the chair waiting for the doctor, Buskirk said. That's when Bob comes in. Patients with disabilities, including autism, often visit the dental office. The comfort dogs have provided needed support during a stressful event. Hazel was able to lay on the lap of a nervous patient. We had one parent say that their child had never gotten through an entire cleaning before, Buskirk said. We were all crying all that day. Jennifer Dawn, Paw Print Ministries founder, has worked with comfort dogs and their owners throughout Central Illinois since 2014. Before COVID closed facilities to the public, comfort dogs would visit nursing homes, hospitals, cancer centers, and behavioral health centers. Once it starts to get a little more safe to be out, then we'll be able to pick up our routine visits, Dawn said. In the meantime, the dogs will provide their love and comfort in other ways, including window visits, posing for pictures, and relaying encouraging notes transcribed by their owners. We try to reach out when we can in safe ways right now, Dawn said. The lack of interaction is not only heartbreaking for the clients, but also for the dogs. The animals are used to greeting people with hugs and kisses. We went from hundreds to zero, Dawn said, about client interactions. The highlight of my dog's day was when the UPS man would show up at our house. To become a comfort dog, a special temperament is needed. According to Dawn, community service is part of the job. A dog that thrives on pleasing their owner and seeing a lot of people or lots of personalities, Dawn said about the dog's personality. Paw Print Ministries has recently begun offering training sessions for new comfort dogs. It's important that our dogs are well-trained and well-behaved when they go out and get ready to work, Dawn said. It's important to us that the people we serve, we keep them safe as well. Bob is one of the lucky ones to still be employed. He doesn't know any different, Buskirk said. And let's see, there are some photos that accompany the article here. Go to the main page first. Okay, and there's a picture of Dr. Katie Buskirk as she pets Bob as he walks around Central Illinois Smiles, bringing cheer to those waiting to get dental work. He greets everyone at the door, said Buskirk, his owner. He likes to walk around and say hi to everybody that's waiting in the chair, but mostly he just brings smiles to people's faces. So Buskirk is leaning down, and Bob is kind of facing away, but giving her a nuzzle at the same time. Let's go to the next photo. And it's a close-up of Bob. A very nice close-up with very sad, sweet eyes, and a nice light coat and a big, big nose. Bob walks around Central Illinois, smiles, bringing cheer to those waiting to get dental work. And there's a sidebar for Paw Print Ministries. To learn more about Paw Print Ministries, visit pawprintministries.org. Another sidebar here, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if you do, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. All right, we move on to the next story under Macon County Courts. Ex-clerk says he didn't see fraud. Bean testifies in trial, challenging tight race in 18 sheriff election. This article's by Tony Reed, Decatur. After enduring 4 hours of intense questioning, retired Macon County clerk Stephen Bean said he had no direct knowledge that the disputed 2018 race for Macon County Sheriff had been marred by fraud. Bean was testifying Monday in Macon County Circuit Court during the fourth day-long session to hear the legal challenge to the single-vote victory of incumbent Sheriff Tony Brown. The sheriff's fellow officer, Lieutenant Jim Root, who had polled 19,654 votes to Brown's 19,655, believes he is the real winner. He's built his case in part on two later found, but uncounted at the time of the election, votes that were cast for him. Root has also suggested some of the election results may have been twisted by fraud. Bean, who said he locked the two discovered Root ballots away in a vault and later felt physically sick with realization when he remembered them after the 2018 election result was finalized, said he did not believe any mistakes in the election were due to criminal behavior. Instead, he cited any errors were the result of underpaid and overworked election staff, human frailty, and equipment malfunctions. I think they did the best they could, said Bean of the election judges and poll workers. These people are hardworking. They don't get paid very well, and we have made the voting system more and more difficult for them. Brown, represented by attorney Chris Scherer, maintains he won a close-fought contest, fair and square. Questioned by Scherer on Root's claims suggesting fraud, Bean said he had heard nothing beyond unsubstantiated rumors. Scherer pressed on, "Before you certified the results or after, has anything been brought to your attention that causes you any concern about any kind of fraud in the November 28 election?" Bean replied, "People say things, but other than gossip, I didn't see any hard concrete things," he said, referring to solid evidence of criminal activity. Attorney John Fogarty, representing Root, in his turn pressed Bean further on the issue of election improprieties. He raised issues like sheriff's race ballots that somehow escaped being initialed by election officials, a security procedure You don't know if something nefarious happened, do you? Fogarty asked. You don't know whether someone merely forgot to initial a ballot, or if someone obtained a ballot improperly. You would not know that, would you? Bean hedged around conceding the point, saying that after 2 years, if there had been some kind of wrongdoing, it probably would have become public by now. Fogarty pressed on. So, over the course of your 28 years running elections, isn't it possible something occurred in a precinct in the nature of a ballot box stuffing and people would not have brought the evidence to you? Isn't that possible? Scherer rose to object, saying that the question called for speculation. If he, Bean, didn't hear it, he wouldn't know he didn't hear it, he said. Excellent point, said Fogarty, implying that was the very point he wanted to make, and then withdrew the question. The case is being heard by Champaign County Circuit Court Judge Anna M. Benjamin. She is destined to rule on whether the fraud and forgotten route ballots will count. I'm sorry, let me reread that. She is destined to rule on whether the found and forgotten route ballots will count and consider the allegations of election wrongdoing. The attorneys will also submit detailed written arguments to her, arguing the fate of dozens of other disputed ballots before Benjamin is due to rule on whether Brown keeps his job or he has to hand his badge over to Root. The other ballots under dispute turned up in a hand recount Benjamin ordered in July, which saw Brown expand his lead over Root by 18 votes. Both sides are due back in court February 11th for what is expected to be the final day of hearings. We're on to page A2, the briefs page under local. St. Patrick's School to host blood drive. This is by the Herald and Review, Decatur. St. Patrick's School is hosting a community blood drive on Wednesday, January 27th at 412 Jackson Street. It will be held from 2:30 to 6 p.m. The school is seeking a minimum of 20 donations to earn the Life Savings Grant. Donors will receive a voucher for a $5 gift card or a free t-shirt. Donors must be older than 17 and weigh more than 110 pounds. Photo identification is required. Appointments are required. Contact the Blood Center at 217-367-2202 or visit bloodcenter.org, code number 60739. And we move on to page A3, the local and state page. COVID local and state Macon County vaccine clinics fill quickly. This article is by Garrett Karsten, Decatur. Once again, Macon County residents acted quickly to fill available appointments for COVID vaccination clinic scheduled for 2 days this week. The Macon County Health Department issued a release at 2:30 p.m. Monday saying there were appointments available for Tuesday and Thursday. Shortly before 6 p.m., it issued a second release announcing no more slots were available. The appointment slots for the MCHD COVID-19 vaccination clinics on January 26th and 28th have been filled. We will be releasing information as soon as it becomes available regarding future opportunities, the release said. The first time the health department announced appointments were available, its phone system was overwhelmed. On Friday, the department declared all 500 spots for a drive-through clinic were filled 1 minute after the event started, based on the number of cars already in line. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Monday said the coronavirus.illinois.gov webpage will now have a portal to share information about the COVID-19 vaccine. The page has information about vaccine sites, eligibility, appointments, and more. On January 25th, the state entered Phase 1B of its vaccination plan, but Pritzker stressed at a visit to a vaccination site in Tinley Park on Monday that vaccines will currently be administered by appointment only. The rollout of Phase 1B is truly an exciting development, but I want to remind everyone that there are only about 120,000 first doses arriving in Illinois, outside of Chicago, that is, this week, Pritzker said. Because of the federal supply limitations, I want to emphasize that vaccinations are being given by appointment only. I've said that before, but I want to make it clear so people don't go line up at their local pharmacy or line up at their local health department. The website has a list of vaccine site locations and links to the website of the pharmacy health department or other location where a vaccine appointment can be made. Pritzker, however, said the vast majority of people will be unable to make an appointment immediately in Phase 1B due to restrictions of who is eligible in the phase and a limited supply coming from the federal government. While Phase 1A prioritized healthcare workers and long-term care residents, Phase 1B includes people aged 65 years and older and non-healthcare frontline essential workers defined as those workers who are essential for the functioning of society and are at highest risk of exposure. To date, Illinois has been delivered over 1.6 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. Of those, 692,763 doses have been administered. With an average of 28,171 shots administered each of the past 7 days, Macon County health officials on Monday also announced 70 positive cases since Friday, 27 on Saturday, 18 on Sunday, and 25 on Monday. To date, the county has reported 9,092 positive cases and 169 deaths since the start of the pandemic. The state reported another 49 deaths Monday after reporting 39 on Sunday and 96 on Saturday, bringing the total death count to 18,798 since the pandemic began. There have been more than 1.1 million confirmed or probable cases among 15.4 million tests results reported. Capital News Illinois contributed to this story. Okay, widespread winter storm keeps road crews on alert. Rain, sleet, and snow all in the forecast. This article's by the Herald and Review from Decatur. If you didn't like your Monday commute, it's possible you won't like it much Tuesday either. That's because the storm that moved across the area Monday, dropping a mix of rain, sleet, and snow, the severity of which varied dramatically depending on where you live, is expected to hang out for another day. The National Weather Service has issued a storm warning for areas north of Interstate 72 that stretches until Tuesday afternoon. It is predicted between an inch and up to 8 inches of snow could fall between Springfield and the Wisconsin border, with heavier totals up north. Freezing rain and possibly hail are predicted in central Illinois before 9 a.m. Tuesday, followed by a chance of snow. Visibility and slippery conditions will be a challenge during the storm. We'll have crews out working throughout until this weather event is over, City of Decatur Municipal Services Manager Dan Mendenhall said Monday afternoon. Mendenhall said the varied weather elements, rain, sleet, ice, and snow, can be challenging. In cases like this, we put down a heavier amount of salt so it could melt down to the bottom layer, leaving what's left to turn to slush. This stuff will probably freeze back over and become ice again, Mendenhall said, reminding motorists to take time and plan ahead. The plan of actions was pretty much the same on county roads. We got a lot of salt and materials out on the road, so we should be good to go, Macon County Engineer Bruce Bird said. Several of us will definitely be keeping an eye on it, and the sheriff's office always helps us keep an eye on things. The Illinois Department of Transportation will have available more than 1,800 trucks and equipment statewide, applying salt, treating roads, and responding to other weather emergencies. If you must travel, we ask that you allow additional time to reach your destination and ensure your vehicle is in safe operating condition, said Illinois State Police Director Brendan F. Kelly. Please obey all traffic laws and posted speed limits. Ameren, Illinois, reported that it activated its Emergency Operations Center on Monday morning in preparation for a winter storm that is forecast to dump snow and ice across central Illinois. The EOC is staffed around the clock to coordinate service restoration, crew mobilization, and communication. David Wakeman, Senior Vice President of Operations and Technical Services for Ameren, Illinois, said while snow poses driving challenges for crews during a winter storm, ice and wind are the more frequent causes of winter power outages. Ice storms are particularly challenging from a power restoration perspective, Wakeman said. Significant ice buildup combined with below freezing temperatures and strong winds can wreak havoc on our power lines, transformers, and other equipment. Ice accretion of more than a quarter inch is our main concern, because that's when we see tree limbs snap and fall into our equipment. The weather system dumped snow from central Kansas northeast to Chicago and south and southern Michigan, with some of the heaviest snow expected in, well, it says southeast, but the article ends and it doesn't appear that there's anywhere else to pick up. Okay, well, looks like they're missing a word, but there is a photo here. Madison Wren, Front, Nivali Robeson, and Brianna Wren have fun on Monday going down one of the hills in Fairview Park. Brianna is the mother of Nivali and Madison's aunt. All are from Decatur. This was the first time sledding for Nivali, who is 2 years old. And it looks like they are having fun all on a little red sled, bundled up, beautiful colors on their coats and snow pants and hats, and it looks like great excitement and glee on their faces as they slide down this hill. Photo credit goes to Clay Jackson, Herald and Review. Illinois General Assembly. Let's see here. Let's go to the Lumpkin announces grant recipients. Family Foundation gives fall 2020 recurring grants. This is by the JGTC, Matt Toon. The Lumpkin Family Foundation has announced the East Central Illinois recipients of its fall 2020 grants. The foundation is proud to support these outstanding organizations whose leadership brings opportunity and long-term prosperity to rural communities and people across our region, said Bruce Karmazin, the foundation's executive director. The recipients personify the foundation's long-term vision of holistically healthy communities as captured by the theme Land Health Community. The fall 2020 grant recipients are Eastern Illinois University School of Technology, Charleston. They received $48,450 to examine opportunities and barriers to growing hemp in East Central Illinois in ways that enhance our understanding of the scientific and commercial foundations for a profitable and environmentally friendly crop alternative. Next was Illinois Stewardship Alliance Springfield, a $12,000 grant to determine the feasibility of a dedicated loan program for small and diversified farmers for investments in on-farm infrastructure and to scale up or transition to organic and regenerative practices. Next, we have Savannah Institute Monticello. They received $35,000 to support outreach to absentee landowners and the Allerton Demonstration Farm, which showcases commercial-scale agroforestry and acts as an education hub for Savannah Institute apprentices and potential agroforestry adoptees in East Central Illinois. Next, we have Sola Gratia Farm, Urbana. They received $7,500 to improve soil fertility and plant health on two properties, providing affordable, fresh, and local fruit and vegetables to families in East Central Illinois. The foundation also announced recurring core grants that provide multi-year operational support to organizations closely aligned to the foundation's mission and goals. Those recipients are the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, Springfield, $35,000, Prairie Rivers Network, Champaign, $60,000, The Land Connection, Champaign, $20,000. Letters of inquiry are being accepted until March 5th from those interested in being part of the Spring 2021 grant-making cycle. For more information, go to lumpkinfoundation.org. Okay. Ex-Logan County Clerk to replace Brady, Sally Turner elected to fill Senate seat, Brendan Moore, Springfield. Former Logan County Clerk Sally Turner, Republican Beeson, handled everything from the mundane to the absurd during her 24 years in county elected office. We got calls on everything from how do I pay my traffic ticket to I have a diaper stuck in the toilet, and I'm not kidding, Turner said. We were the office that helped people navigate to where they needed to go, she said. You don't pay your traffic ticket at my office, and we certainly don't help with plumbing. But Turner said there was a common helping mechanism she learned through every request that came through her office, and it's a mechanism she hopes to bring to Illinois state government. Turner was selected over the weekend by Republican Party officials to replace former State Senator Bill Brady, Republican Bloomington, in the 44th Senate District. She was the unanimous choice of party leaders out of 9 applicants to serve out the 2 remaining years in Brady's term. She plans to run for re-election in whichever district she's drawn into after the redistricting process. Turner was Logan County Clerk from 1994 to 2018 and became the longest-serving female elected official in county history, according to the Lincoln Courier. She retired after 6 terms, citing a desire to spend more time with her parents. But Turner said she has always seemed to find herself drawn back into public policy, especially in the realm of taxes and election security. When this came up, I thought, I still have something to give back to my community, and think this is the way to do it, and I just proceeded, Turner said. Turner was interviewed Saturday by the 5 GOP county party chairs. She was informed that she had been chosen less than 2 hours after leaving the interview. The 44th Senate district includes all or parts of McLean, Menard, Logan, Sangamon, and Tazewell counties. It stretches from Bloomington to the northeast and the Peoria region to the northwest and the north end of Springfield to the south. Turner was chosen over 8 other candidates: Lincoln Ward 3 Alderman Kevin Bateman, Tazewell County Board Member Russ Crawford, USDA Farm Services Agency Illinois Executive Director William Graff, former Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council CEO Kyle Hamm, Lincoln City Administrator Elizabeth Cavelman, American Airlines pilot Tim Taylor, law school student Logan Warwick, and Tazewell County Board Chairman David Zimmerman. Brady, 59, resigned December 31st after 28 years in the Illinois General Assembly. He first served in the Illinois House from 1993 to 2001 after being appointed to fill the seat of retiring State Senator John Maitland. In that time, Brady unsuccessfully ran for governor 3 times, losing in the Republican primary in 2006 and 2014, and coming up short in the general election by less than 1% against Governor Pat Quinn in 2010. Brady became minority leader of the Illinois Senate in July 2017. He stepped down from leadership after the November elections, when the party, already in the super-minority, suffered a net loss of 1 seat, and efforts were underway to oust him. Turner, who describes herself as a conservative woman, said her priorities in the General Assembly include getting a handle on the COVID-19 pandemic from both the public health and economic perspective and balancing the state's budget. This is not the time for increased taxes, Turner said. That's really important as well. We need to figure out how to budget well and climb our way out of this hole. Turner also said she looked forward to working on election security issues. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour. Stay tuned after we take a short break here as we return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 26, 2021.